In this week's parsha, we hear about, we start off with the death of our matriarch, the death of Sarah. And after the death of Sarah, we hear one of the most human stories that is related to us of the Avos and the Imahus. And that is the story of Avraham purchasing the burial plot for Sarah. So if we look, the source sheet is in the chat. If you look in Bereishis Parak Chaf Gimel, Vayihu chayei Sarah, mea shana ve'esrim shana ve'sheva shanim shnei chayei Sarah. Sarah lived for 100 years and 20 years and 7 years. This was the life of Sarah. Vatama Sarah beKiryat Arba hi Chevron beEretz Kenaan vayavo Avram lispol leSarah veliv chota. So Sarah lived, she died in Kiryat Arba, and this was Chevron, beEretz Kenaan, in the land of Israel, vayavo Avraham lispol leSarah veliv chota. Avraham comes to mourn for Sarah and to eulogize her. Vayakum Avram me'al p'nei mito. And Avraham stands up from the face of his relative that had passed. He goes to the chitim, the people who lived around him, and he goes to them and he asks them a question. Ger v'toshav anochi imachem. I am a ger toshav. I am a stranger resident. So it is an interesting dichotomy of what Avraham means by this statement. And that is not our topic for today, but Avraham says, I live among you. Avraham says, give me a piece of land so that I may bury my dead among you. This we are going to see is going to tie into our first approach, which is going to be the concept of Avraham wanting to buy or receive this piece of land. But Avraham says, give me a piece of land so that I may bury my dead. V'ya'anu b'nei chayt at Avraham le'mor lo. B'nei chayt answered Avraham and they said to him, Shamanu Adonina si Elokim ata. We know that you are a very chashuv person. You are an ambassador of God that's living among us. B'mivchar kivrenu kvor et mitecha. You should take the choicest of our burial plots and you should bury your dead there. Ish mimenu et kivro lo yichla mimcha mikvor mitecha. Nobody will hold back from you their piece of land for you to bury your dead. V'yakam Avram v'yishachavu la'am ha'aretz l'bnei chayt. So Avram stands up and then he bows down in front of the people of Chit, in front of the Chitim. Ve'idaveri tamli mor. And he says to them, saying, Im yesh et nafshechem likbor et meiti milfanai. Shim'uni v'pig'uli be'efrom ben Zohar. So if you really mean what you just said, that nobody is going to hold back their burial plot for me, then I need you to appeal on my behalf to Ephron ben Zohar, who we are going to learn is a dignitary from among them. He is one of the Gvirim. He is one of the wealthy, important individuals. I want Ma'arat HaMachpila, a specific cave, Asher Lo B'Tseisa Dehu, that is his, but it is at the edge of his fields. B'Kesef Malay, I want to purchase it. B'Kesef Malay. For the full price. I want to purchase this from among you and I want to have it forever. They didn't really have to go far to find Ephron. Ephron was sitting there. He was sitting there among the B'nei Chayt. So Ephron said to Avraham in front of all the B'nei Chayt, L'chol ba'ei sha'ari roli mor. He said in front of everyone saying, V'idaber al Ephron be'aznei am ha'aretz le'mor, achi bata lu shamani. Now Avraham is starting to seem exasperated. We are going to explain in a little bit why he seems so exasperated. Lu shamani natati kesef besadeh, kach mimeni ve'ekbarat miti shama. Please take my money. I don't want this as a gift because Ephron says I'm going to give it to you in front of everybody. Ephron says I'm going to give this to you as a gift. And Avraham says, please, will someone listen to me? I don't want a gift. Now, Avraham might have laid out this confusion because he said, Tenuli Eretz. However, Avraham says, listen to me clearly. I just want to pay you for the land. Veishma Avram et Ephron veishko Avram leEphron. So Adoni shamani haaretz arba meot shekel kasef. So Ephron responds him and he says, okay, if you really want to pay for the land, you can pay me in 400 pieces of currency. Beini ubincha mahi et mitcha kvor. So he says, what's the big deal? Okay, so just pay me 400 coins between me and you. That's nothing. And it's true. Ephron is a very wealthy man, and Avraham is a very wealthy man. So Ephron says, well, it's a big deal. If you're insistent, you have to pay for the lands. Okay, so give me 400 coins, and we'll settle this. You'll be able to bury your dead. So Avram takes the current currency. When it says over lasocher, this was the currency that was currently being used. And he pays 400 coins to Ephron, and there it is, it's settled. Vayakam stay Ephron asher b'machpila asher lifnei mamre hasadeh b'mahara asher bo v'chol ha'itz asher b'sadeh asher b'chol gvulos aviv. So it enumerates for us what exactly did Avram purchase. He purchased the entire land that was surrounding Maratz Machpila. He purchased Maratz Machpila, the cave itself. And he also purchased all the trees, everything that was in its boundaries, Avram purchased. Everyone was there. Everyone saw this transaction occur. All of the B'nai Chait witnessed this transaction between Ephron and Avram. V'acharkin, kavar Avram et Sara ishto. Avram buried Sarah, his wife, El Marat HaSadeh HaMachpela Asher Al Pnei Mamre, Hu Chevron Be'eretz Kenan. And again, it points out exactly for us. Avraham buried his wife, Sarah, in Stema HaMachpela, in the facing Mamre, Hi Chevron Be'eretz Kenan. So it specifically lays out to us the exact coordinates of where Sarah was buried again and again. Ve'yakam HaSadeh V'mahara Asher Bo La'Avram La'chuzat Kever Me'ip B'nichi. This land was established as belonging to Avram as he had purchased it from B'nai Chait. So this is our story. Avraham is in mourning. He has lost his life partner, Sarah. He seeks to find a portion of land on which to bury Sarah. And he finds that portion of land. He buys it. And forever, that is our land. My question today is, this seems like a very, very specific place that Avraham had his eye on to buy to bury Sarah. It wasn't like he just said, okay, my wife has passed away. I'm a little lost. I don't know what to do. Can someone please direct me? I'm a Ger Toshav. I'm not exactly from here. Where do we bury our dead? Can you please give me a burial plot? No, rather Avram comes and specifically has a mission. Avram says, I want to purchase Maratz Machpelah. And they say, we want to give it to you as a gift. He says, no, I am insistent. I want this piece of land. And it keeps pointing out exactly where this land is. Avram clearly had his eyes and was willing to pay a very, very large sum of money, as we can tell from the way that Ephron says it, like, oh, maybe you want to give me $1 million for this piece of land. He says, it's no big deal. You can just pay me this huge sum of money. But Avram says, perfect, and pushes forward. He wants this piece of land. So the question that I want to explore today, and again, of course, we are going to get our three perspectives on this question. Why was Avraham so set on Maratz HaMachpelah? What was so unique? What did Avraham have in mind when he specifically wanted to buy this location? So the first approach is based on what is pretty clearly apparent in the Pesukim, is that it has to do something with the transaction itself. That Avraham, as we say, he originally said, Tnu li Eretz, give me this land, but afterwards repeats over and over that he wants to pay kesef. He wants to purchase this land. He does not want to receive this land as a gift. What exactly is going on here? There is a book called Braiding Sweet Grass, which was written by a poetic writer and scientific researcher named Robin Wall Kimmerer. And she sets up that in history, in the times in which the Torah was occurring in the times of Avraham, there were two approaches to land. The first approach was that land can be bought and purchased. As we see throughout the Torah, throughout the Gemara, there is this idea of how to purchase land. However, there is a second approach, which is that the land is a gift given to us by God, and therefore we have no right and authority over the acquisition of the land. Rather, the land acts as its own entity. What is an example of this? Eretz Canaan, or the lands of Israel, would actually be a perfect example of how we view the land as having control in and of itself. Of course, we believe that this is divine, that God is in charge of the land, and that land is not acting out of its own volition. But there is this approach that the land is an entity in and of itself. One example of this would be that we learn throughout the brachot and the klalot that when we act appropriately and we act in accordance with the way Hashem commands us, Then the land will reward us, and we will receive sustenance from the land. The land will be prosperous, it will be fruitful. However, when we act in a way that is not in accordance with the ways of Hashem, the land will split us, will spit us out. We do not have a right to inhabit this land if we are not acting in accordance with how the land wants us to behave. So therefore, the land has is a being in and of itself. When Avraham first approaches the B'nai Chait, and he says, Tenu li Eretz, they believe that Avraham wants to just go with the way of the land. He wants to be gifted a piece of land. However, as Avraham always is, and we are going to see this throughout the three approaches, Avraham is always there to educate the people. And Avraham believes that the land does not gift itself. We do not have autonomy over the land. Rather, who has autonomy over the land? God. As Avram is educating in all areas of his life, of God's involvement in this world. So Avram is saying, you as human beings do not have a right to gift me land. You are not in control. If it is going to be a transaction between human beings, it is going to be a monetary transaction. If it is going to be a gift, if the land is going to pass on its own volition, quote unquote, from one to another, that has to be the will of God. If it is between human beings, that has to be a monetary transaction. So Avraham is insistent that he wants to purchase the land, first and foremost, to educate them as to this lesson. So he says, no, I want to pay for it. But then why specifically Maras HaMachpela? And I think for that, we have to understand who Ephron was. And that Ephron was, as we said, the Gevir. He was the important person. He was the one who was really the wealthy one among the B'nai Chait. So why does Avraham specifically want to purchase from Ephron? And I think the answer can be found in Rashi. And I apologize, I did not record the Rashi on this, in the sources specifically. But this Rashi is quite a famous Rashi that originates all the way from the beginning, the first Rashi on Torah. The first Rashi on Torah tells us that why did Hashem begin the Torah with Bereishis? So that the entire world should know that Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people. And this is a running theme throughout Rashi and all of Torah, that we see it again at the end of Vayechi, and we see it here. We see here that Rashi comments and says that why was Avraham so insistent on purchasing Maarat HaMachpela? He was so insistent on purchasing Maarat HaMachpela because he wanted there to be unequivocal proof that we own this land. That is why the Pesukim so clearly map out exactly the coordinates of the location he bought, where it says, it's opposite Mamre, Hu Chevron, Be'eretz Kanaan, over and over and over again. This is Chevron. This is in Eretz Kanaan. This is the land that we purchased. So in the future, as Rashi tells us, the children of B'nai Chait cannot come to Avraham, to the children of Avraham, and say, we're taking back this land. Because we will be able to say, this was not given to us as a gift. Rather, we purchased this land. This very clearly belongs to us. So then, why Maras Machpela specifically? Because if you want to make a point, and you want to prove and say specifically, we have ownership over this land, you don't go buy from some lowly guy, I don't know, someone nobody knows. Because then they're going to say, who did you even do that transaction with? We don't know Joe Schmo. We don't know the guy that you purchased this from. Rather, Avram goes straight to the Gevir, straight to the important person. He says, I don't want just any piece of land to purchase to show my ownership over this land. I want to buy specifically from Ephron. I want to buy specifically from the wealthy, important individual so that there should be no question that this was a legitimate sale. He wasn't just selling it to me because he needed some extra cash. This was someone who had full autonomy over his funds, and he rightfully sold me Maras Machpela. So according to approach one, Avraham is not so concerned about the piece of land itself. Rather, he is concerned about the optics and the technicalities of the sale. That it didn't matter what the piece of land was. Rather, it mattered who he was purchasing it from. And because he wanted to purchase specifically from Ephron, he ended up buying specifically Maras HaMachpela. So that is the first approach. The first approach is that it is not about the land itself. Rather, it is about the original owner of the land that he wanted to buy from the most important person in the entire town. That is approach number one. Approach number two, however, I'm just warning you, for those who are not so Kabbalistically minded, we may need to stretch ourselves a little bit today. The next two approaches are much more Kabbalistic in nature, because whenever we get to talking about life after death, or talking about what we do post life when it comes to the neshama, anything that has to do with death tends to tend towards a more Kabbalistic nature. Now, whenever we're talking about things that we don't know 100% about, we tend to veer a little bit more towards Kabbalah. So let's put on our Kabbalah mindset, and we are going to delve into the next two approaches. The next approach begins, though, however, we don't need to get to the Kabbalah Zohar yet. We begin in Gemara and Eruvin. That's a solid place to begin. We begin in the Gemara and Eruvin. And the Gemara and Eruvin said, Maras Machpila, Rabu Shmuel Chanamar Shneba Tim Zelifnim Lefanim Mize. We are talking about how did Maras Machpila receive its name? What does the name Maras Machpila mean? We have a debate between Rav and Shmuel. One says, Shneba Tim Zelifnim Mize. There are two rooms, one inside the other. V'chanamar, bayit va'aliya al gabav. The other one says that it was a double-decker mountain. One says there was two rooms, an outer room and an inner room, and one says that there was two floors, one above and one below. Bishlama l'ma'an de'amar ze al gav ze. It makes sense, the one who says that it is one on top of the other, that it is two floors, because that would be machpelah, that would be doubled. Machpelah technically means doubled. So if you're explaining it that way, then it means that one is on top of the other. That makes perfect sense. Hayinu machpelah. Elo lemanda amar shnei batim zelif nimize. However, one who says that there is one room and then another room, my machpelah, what is doubled? Regularly, we have rooms that there are two rooms. This is nothing unique. Shekfula bezugot. So the answer is, rather, that it is not about the structure of the cave. Rather, it is shekfula bezugot, that the people who were buried within the cave were buried kifula, double. They were buried in pairs. Mamre Kiryat Arba. It specifically tells us this was in Kiryat Arba. Amara Biyitzchak, Kiryat Arba Zugot. This is talking about the four pairs. When it says Kiryat Arba, what is this number four? Four is the four pairs that are buried in Maras Machpila. Adam v'Chava, Adam and Chava, Avraham v'Sara, Yitzchak v'Rivka, Yaakov v'Leia. So it's talking about what is Machpelah, what is doubled, that everybody was buried in pairs, that they were buried double. And why is it in Arba, in Kiryat Arba? Because it was four pairs. So four sets of two. So we have Adam and Chava, Avraham and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leia. So based on this source, who would have already been buried there? Adam and Chava. So that would have given a certain significance to this land. But the question is, how would Abraham have known that Adam and Chava were buried there? Is it like Kivrei Tzadikim today, where we have the big sign that says, Zeh Kever, Adam and Chava? Was this a destination that people would come to daven? Let's see. Is it possible, or how did Abraham know that Adam was buried there? So the Be'er Mayim Chaim tells us, the Be'er Mayim Chaim tells us that obviously this was a place that was named for the future, that at that point, all of the other pairs were not yet buried there. Rather, it was named about what would occur in that place in the future. We see this in a number of other places in Tanakh. This is strange for us to wrap our heads around, that it could have been named after something that didn't yet happen. But then we remember that this is a book written by God. Anything can happen. So it was named for the future, that we should not think that it was only named post when everyone was buried there. Rather, it was named now about something that would happen in the future. So the Zohar explains to us, and the Zohar is there in the next source, Zohar Aleph. However, the language is a little bit complicated. We are going to do it outside. That from the moment that Avraham laid eyes on Maras Machpelah, he was connected, he felt a distinct connection to Maras Machpelah. And at first, he didn't understand what that connection was. He saw Maras Machpelah, and he felt a pull towards Maras Machpelah. And then at one point, Avraham was passing by the entrance to Maras Machpelah, and he had a vision of the entrance to Gan Eden and a figure that was standing outside the entrance to Gan Eden. Avraham thought, who must this be that is permanently outside the entrance to Gan Eden? It could be no other than Adam HaRishon. The Perkei de Rabbi Eliezer, another Midrash, records an instance in which we say this could have happened. And this is brought down by the Gemara. This is brought down really in a number of different places, even though it sounds like one of those stories that may have been like, oh, a Midrash off somewhere. This is a Midrash that is often quoted. The Midrash states that when Avraham was preparing the meal for the Malachim, the angels that came to visit just in last week's Parsha, Sarah was preparing the bread, and Avraham went out to take the bakar in order to slaughter them in order to have meat for the meal. However, Avraham was delayed. Why was Avraham delayed? Because one of the bakar, one of the cattle, ran off and ran to Marat Machpelah. And this was when Avraham saw that vision, that Avraham saw the entrance to Gan Eden, and he saw that figure, which he realized was the figure of Adam HaRishon. How did he know that this was the entrance to Gan Eden? Now, this is where we have to bring out our inner mystic. And it says that Avraham smelled a reach nichoach, that he smelled a beautiful smell that was the smell of Gan Eden. It was at that point that he put all of the pieces together. This beautiful smell, that must be Gan Eden. This figure, that must be Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon is permanently right outside of Gan Eden. So Avraham recognized that there was a spiritual significance to this Ma'ara, to this cave, and that this was the burial place of Adam HaRishon. And it was from that moment that the Zohar tells us that Avraham decided he needed to have this place. This needed to be the burial place for his wife, that this was the place of Adam HaRishon, and this was going to be the burial place for the remainder of the Avos and the Imahos. Just a side note, if anyone has ever been to Marat HaMachpelah, it is an awesome experience that you realize that you are in the presence of the Avos and the Imahos, and there is definitely a greater spiritual feeling than one can experience at any other kever, that you feel a real connection to the world of spirituality, to a world that often seems so distant. But when you are in a burial place and you see, this is obviously not an actual tombstone, but when you see the matseva, it brings everything that happens in Tanakh to life in a way that you can't imagine in many other places. But when you go on Parshat Chayisara, which is not something I suggest for the week of heart, you have to have quite a bit of fortitude to go to Chevron on Parshat Chayisara. It is packed. There are people everywhere. My parents thought I was absolutely crazy when I told them I was going during my year in seminary. I slept on the floor of a school. Sleeping is really a nice way to describe it. There was no way I slept, but I spent the evening on the floor of a school, packed crowds. But what is unique about Parshas Chayisara, besides for the schus of being there on the anniversary of when Maras Machpelah was purchased and when Sarah was buried there, there are also the unique opportunity to enter parts of the Me'ara that are not always open to the public. And one of those is the entrance to Gan Eden. There is a place in the ground that it has a cover, and you can open it up and you can smell Gan Eden. And unless you've experienced it, it sounds like I've absolutely lost my mind. But there's no way to explain it. You open up this thing and there's like a nice cool breeze and a pleasant smell, which definitely does not fit among the hordes of people and way too much, I don't know, everything everywhere. You smell just a pleasant smell. So whether, I don't know how to explain it, but they say it's the entrance to Gan Eden, and I've smelled it. It definitely smelled nice. So that's what Avraham saw. He saw the entrance to Gan Eden. He smelled that beautiful smell. He saw Adam HaRishon, and he knew that this was the place he needed for his wife. And viewing it through this lens, of course he didn't give up. There was no price too great to pay for the burial place of Adam HaRishon. Think of the effort that we go through today for one grave that we want to be able to have access. Every Jewish person should be able to have proper burial. And the extent that we will go in order to secure a proper burial place, of course, Abraham, who is our exemplar, who is trying to find a burial place for Sarah, and he knew that this was the burial place of Adam HaRishon, of course he wasn't going to stop. No cost was going to be too great. So that is the second approach, that this was the burial place of Adam HaRishon, and therefore Abraham needed to have it for his wife. However, the third approach, I think, takes us one step further, that it really explains to us what is the essence of Maras Machpelah, that we understand that there is a spiritual significance to it, but this takes it even further. The Shem Yishmuel explains to us in Parshas Chayesara Zayin, V'hinei b'zohar ha-kadosh, she'Avraham v'sara him neshama v'guf, v'hayinu av sh'shneihem hayu shleimim b'guf v'neshama, mikol makom, ikar avodas Avraham haya lahamshich hasadim milamala lamata, v'al yedei zeh, icha et kol ba'ei olam v'megayir es ha'anashim. So we see in the Zohar HaKadosh that Avraham and Sarah, they were both comprised of neshama v'guf, v'hayinu av sh'shneihem hayu shleimim. Both of them were complete beings, v'guf v'neshama. They were really our example of complete individuals. They were complete in their guf. They were complete in their neshama. Mikol makom ikar avodas Avraham. Even so, even though they were perfect beings, even though they were shalim, their goal was to help others to achieve this shlemus. So the purpose of Avraham was lahamshich chasadim milamal lamata. Avraham's purpose was to bring down godliness into this world. That was how Avraham converted the anashim, converted the men. That Avraham's approach was being the educator. He was the one who brought monotheism into the world. He brought the chasadim from Hashem down into our world. V'sara haya ikar avodata milamata lamala. Sarah took the opposite approach. She took the people in the world and elevated them up to Hashem. L'hamshich et teshukata tachtunim le'elyunim. Sarah took the opposite approach, as opposed to the educational approach of Avraham, which was bringing down Hashem's chasadim into the world. Sarah took the opposite approach, and she took everyone in this world, and she aroused their spirituality and brought them to yearn for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She brought them up from the bottom. She helped inspire them down below in order that they should yearn for HaKadosh Baruch Hu up above. V'zehu shehaita migayaret et hanashim, and this was how Sarah converted the woman. Hatzad hashaveh shebahem shehayu mechabrim et ha'alyunim v'atachtunim yachad. So together, the uniting force between Avraham and Sarah was that they united these two worlds, the world up above, the world of Hashem, the world of spirituality, and they united it with the tachtunim, the world of the physical world down below. V'shneihem zachu l'ma'arat ha'mechpilah shehu makom ha'chibor. And that's why both of them merited to Ma'arat Machpelah, which is known as the Makum HaChibor, the place of connection. Ach ba'asher hu petach Gan Eden shehachibor milamata lamala. Because this is the place of the entrance to Gan Eden, which is the union between the world above and the world below. V'zehu ha'hefrish bein Ma'arat Machpelah l'mekom ha'mikdash. This is the difference between Ma'arat Machpelah and the Makom ha'mikdash, the place of the temple. Sheshem malachei Elokim olim v'yordim bo. Because we know that when Yaakov, coming up in a few weeks, will arrive at the Makom ha'mikdash and he goes there to take a nap, he has this vision, Yaakov Avinu, of the sulam, the ladder, with the Malachim Olim V'yardim bo, that the angels were going up and they were coming down. Shehu chibor milamata lamala. This was connecting the lower worlds up to Hashem, the milamala lamata, and the upper worlds down to our world. Kimosha katavnu v'bimarat machpila matzinu rak chibor milamata lamala. However, in Ma'arat Machpelah, we only find this place of connection from the lower world to the upper world. That there is our doorway to Gan Eden, which takes this world and allows us to have a path up to the upper worlds. So as opposed to the Makom HaMikdash, where there was sort of this conversation, there was this multi-directionality about the interaction between Hashem and the Jewish people. Through Ma'arat Machpelah, we only see the connection milamata lamala, from the bottom to the upper. And the neshamot that leave from this world, they go via Ma'arat Machpelah into the next world. They enter into Gan Eden that way. Al kein mityachis makom ze biyoter l'sara Shezehi mida tabioter. Therefore, this was the most appropriate burial place for Sarah because it shared her mida. Her mida was exemplified by Marat Machpelah. The Marat Machpelah is the place of the connection from our world into the upper world, and so too was Sarah. That Sarah was the person who united the lower world and the upper world, that she helped people strive above the limitations of this world to reach their godly potential, to strive towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Avraham, shenitgala alav makom hazeh, when Avraham saw this place, that he saw this because of the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orachim, as we discussed in the story where the Bakar ran away when he was trying to get one for the angels. When he recognized that this was the place of connection from the lower world to the upper world, and he recognized that this was the essence of Sarah's mida. So it's quoting the every pasuk in Eishes Chayil corresponds to one of the women that we learn about in Tanakh, and he was saying that the pasuk that aligns with Sarah is Zamaba Sadeva Tika Chayhu, that it's talking about this Sadeh, that her nature was that of Maras Machpila. Vizehu Shema Arich Belashon Kafol Zamama Venatla Sadeh Hamachpila Kinatla Hu Lashon Hagba'a. So it's going through the connection between her and the field. But the point being is that Abraham had, of course, a keen understanding of the nature of his wife. And he recognized that midah of Sarah seemingly was now lost from the world. But when he saw Maras Machpelah, he said, oh, this is the place for Sarah. That this is the place that exemplifies the same midah that Sarah possessed. And therefore, Abraham had to have this place. He had to have this place that spiritually represented everything that his wife had represented. The Edrei Tzon on Chayei Sarah adds here, and I thought that this was really beautiful. The Imkin, Divrei Hamalbim, Avram Haya Mishadel Lahorot Inyan Hasharat HaNefesh Achar HaMavet B'Kinyat Marat Machpelah. Avraham is the eternal educator. He is always trying to educate the world with everything that he does. And through the kinyan, through the buying of Maras Machpelah, Avram was trying to teach the world something specific about Hasharat HaNefesh, about the eternity of the soul. V'lefi divrei ha'avni nizer, ha'amuna b'hasharat ha'nefesh, goremet chibor bin b'nei adam. The Avni Nizer tells us that when we believe in the eternity of the soul, it adds so much to the human understanding and the human experience, and eventually it leads to connection between people. That when we believe that the bonds and the connections we form are eternal, that these are not something that lasts just for a set amount of time, this creates stronger connection between people. He says, this is why we learn the idea of Kiddushin from the sale of Maras Machpelah to Abraham. What does that mean? The Gemara tells us that we learn that there are three ways to acquire a wife. That we acquire a wife either through a kinyan, through money, through bia, through intercourse, or through shtar, through very specific contract. And today we use the method of kinyan, that we use an acquisition. We learn that from Stei Ephron, that we learn kicha kicha, that we learn that Ephron said he was going to give it, and Avraham acquired it, and then Avraham took it. That the methodology through which she buys Marat Machpelah leads us to learn this kinyan of kiddushin. So he says, "She'ish she'ino nasoi hu chetzi neshama ubekiddushin na'aseh neshama shleima b'chibor im isha." So he says, "What are you truly doing through that acquisition? You are doing something so much greater than just buying you can't buy a person." So he's saying we learn that here from Maras Machpelah, that this was not just an acquisition of a piece of land, rather this was a connection of neshamo. That this was connecting the midah of Sarah to the midah of Maras Machpelah. It's saying that Sarah's essence still exists, even though she is no longer in this world, that her connection with Avraham still exists, even though she is no longer in this world, that the neshama still exists, that there is significance to what happens to the neshama after the person passes away. And this chibur, this connection between Avraham and Sarah, is still there even after her death. There is such a close connection, and that Avraham wants to continue the connection of Sarah's neshama to this world. That we learn from this chibur of neshama that we want to connect Sarah to Maras Machpelah, the close connection that her and Avraham did have. So there is this sense of connection that Maras Machpelah is the makom achibur, and Avraham wanted to this for his wife, the person who he was most closely connected to. Lastly, just to add in the words of Rav Hirsch, that Rav Hirsch illustrates beautifully this idea of connection even one step deeper. Stei hamachpelah, zugot hakfarim ha'ila. These two pairs that were buried in this kever, ha'yehudi harishon kanele ishto v'le'atzmo. The first Yehudi, the first Jewish person, acquired it for himself and his wife. Va'avor b'no v'nechto v'nishotehem, and for his son and his grandson and their wives. Hayu hanechas harishon shekanta ha'mishpacha ha'yehudit ba'artza. This is the first piece of land that the Jewish people buys in their land. Archam shel hakshirim ha'mishpachtiyim. This shows us the extent of the familial connection, hakshirim ba'al ve'isha, the connection between man and his wife, horim ve'yiladim, parents and children, nikshar me'ata ve'elech kesher ba'al yinatik la'eretz Yisrael. So this strong connection of family that we already see established prior to the purchasing of Maras Machpelah is now strengthened even further by establishing that connection and tightly connecting that connection with the land of Israel. So we already see that there is familial connection, and now that familial connection is strengthened even further by connecting to the land of Israel. This becomes part and parcel of the Jewish experience, a part of the identity of the Jewish people. Nobody understood the extent to which this would proceed. That from the moment that the first Jew bought the first piece of land in Eretz Israel, nobody could imagine how that would develop up until this point today. This explains why the place after much time was called Chevron. Mishorash Chavar, from the language of connection. Mitzayin et ra'ayut v'karvat halavavot. This is a place that brings about connection between people. Hama'achadot et ha'ish v'isha. This is a place that brings together man and wife. Hayehudim hagdalim yachad keba'al v'isha. And the Jewish people that grow up together as man and wife, v'ke'a v'ke'im, and like a father and a child, me'ot shana me'uchar yoter, b'tkufat prichatinu ha'le'umit, lo hivater l'karban ha'tamid shel shachar la'olut al piskat har ha'moriah b'Yerushalayim, even after much time when our point of connection shifts to har ha'moriah in Yerushalayim, b'terem yachol ha'kohin ha'umid al chumat ha'mikdash l'ruot et or ha'shemesh ha'ola ha'meir al kivrei avot v'ha'imahot. The Kohen Gadol, before they would bring the Karban Tamid, would stand up and they would be able, as it says in Masechet Yoma, that before they brought the Karban Ola, they would stand and they would see the light illuminating over Kivrei Avot Ve'imahot. Kibud Avaim Hu Hatnai Hamukdam V'Hashorash LeKibud Hamakom. So he takes it one step further and he is saying, what about Chevron teaches us, and it says, as Jewish people, man to his wife, father to his child, this is talking about our connection as a Jewish people to Hashem. That once we were a Jewish people, not only connected to each other, but once we were in addition connected to the land of Israel, that is when we are established in our most strong connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the ultimate relationship, which is often compared either to relationship of a husband and a wife or the relationship of a father and a child. The point of Rav Hirsch is that this is our point of ultimate connection. Avraham recognized this, and he said, this is the midah of Sarah. She must be buried in this place, the makom hachibor, the place of connection. So again, to review our three approaches, the first approach was that Avraham did not specifically need Maras Machpelah itself. Rather, he specifically needed to buy this piece of land from Ephraim, from an important person, so that in the future, when the descendants of Avraham are going to come back to Eretz Yisrael, and again, remember, Avraham already knew Brit Bein Habitarim. He knew that his descendants were going to leave and they were going to come back. He knew that they were going to need a proper right to the land. They were going to need proof that they made a valid kinyan, that they purchased this land on the up and up, that this land truly belongs to us. So he needed to buy land from an important person, and it happened to be Maras Machpelah. The second approach is that Abraham saw that this was the burial place of Adam HaRishon. He had a vision where he was able to see Adam HaRishon in the entrance to Gan Eden, and he knew that he needed this place. He knew that the spiritual nature of this cave was exactly the place he needed in order to bury his wife. And lastly, was that Abraham had such a keen insight into the nature of his wife and a keen understanding of the nature of Marat and Machpelah, and that they were one and the same. That both Sarah and Marat Machpelah were places and people that were connectors. They connected the people down on this earth up to Avinu Bashamayim, Hashem is our God in heaven. He recognized that there was no better place to bury Sarah in order to continue the legacy that she left behind than burying her in Makom HaChibor, the Makom of connection to Hashem. So he needed specifically Marat Machpelah because it specifically served that purpose. So I hope as we are reading through Parshas Chayisara this week, we can look a little bit deeper at this story of purchasing land, which is human. It shows us what Avraham was going through after the death of Sarah, but see how much more we are able to learn from this, that a place in Torah is definitely not just a place.